Imagine for a moment a world without hope. No Jesus, no crucifixion and resurrection, no promise of eternal life. You're born, you live, and you die. And then you're buried, and you're gone forever. There's nothing more. You've got about 50 years of life at best, and then death. What a bleak picture. Now imagine that Paul and Barnabas come and preach the good news to you. The best news you have ever heard, in fact. They tell you that there is a man who died, but he came back to life again. And not only did he come back to life, but then he went up to heaven, a greater paradise than you have ever imagined. And not just that, but he gave Paul and Barnabas the secret on how you too can join him when you die, so that you too can live in eternity, in peace and in perfection. Or you can ignore the message and keep on living your life as you have been, with all its tragedy and hardship, until you die, without hope or without salvation. This was pretty much the situation presented in our first reading. In the early years of the church, Gentiles were flocking to the faith based on the preaching of Paul and other missionary apostles. And it's not too hard to see why. These Gentiles had been without hope. Most of them lived a pretty dreary existence, often without even the certainty of where their next meal would come from. But suddenly, there was something so new and promising. There might actually be more to life. As unbelievable as it might sound, there might be something greater than their humdrum lives. And the best part, they were invited. This Jesus almost seemed too good to be true. So you have to ask, why did the Gentiles flock to Christ and the Jews continue to reject him? There are probably many reasons, but one seems to stand out. The Jews already had hope, and they thought that that hope was manifest entirely in the law. Of course, God had prepared for the coming of Christ through the Jewish people, and throughout their long history, he had been promising them that salvation would come to them. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him, today's psalm tells us. Well, the Jewish people had been singing that song for hundreds of years. They knew it. God would save them. He had promised. So when Jesus comes along proclaiming salvation, the Jews were likely confused. They had already been promised salvation and had been given the law of Moses as the way to that salvation. So what was the point of Jesus? And after his crucifixion and his supposed resurrection, well, same thing. Why should the Jews believe that this group of fanatics held a new truth? Why not trust in Abraham and Elijah and Moses and King David and all those great figures from the scriptures who had spoken God's words and done God's deeds? The Jews, by and large, already had hope in God, and therefore they had no real driving push to convert. As far as they were concerned, they were already on the path to heaven. So why change course mid-direction to follow this Jesus? So the Gentiles are eager to convert in finding themselves invited into eternal life for the first time, while the Jews, who had already counted on such salvation, resist the invitation of the Holy Spirit. We can see some parallels even in today's world. You often see converts to the faith who are vibrant, evangelizing Catholics, who cannot stop singing Christ's praises and spreading his gospel, while many lifelong cradle Catholics are a little bit more tepid in their enthusiasm for preaching Jesus. Again, if you have ever experienced a life of no hope, then you hold this gift of Christian hope that much more precious. Now, I'm going to venture to guess that the majority of us in this church have never actually experienced a life of no hope. Most of us were probably baptized as children, either in the Catholic Church or in another Christian denomination. And therefore, we've always had some understanding of God's love for us. Even if at times we ignored his care for us, even if we drifted, most of us still had at least some belief that he was watching over us, that Christ is our good shepherd, as he tells us in the gospel today. We have most likely had some sort of continual expectation that we would eventually be brought to heaven at the end of our lives. That's what a shepherd does. He leads his sheep home. But the thing is, the sheep must actually follow the shepherd in order to get home. They don't get there on their own. They don't know the way. The sheep have hope in the shepherd. They trust him. They know that he will always guide and protect them. And they know that he loves them. And so it is with Christ and us. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We are his people, the flock he guides. Like the first Gentile converts to the faith, we put all of our trust in him to lead us to our heavenly homeland. He is our hope. Unfortunately, though, there is another way, but it doesn't work. It is the way practiced by the Jews in the time of the early church. They believed in God's promise of salvation, but they did not believe that Christ was that way. They had the expectation of eternal life in heaven, but they didn't follow the shepherd that could lead them there. Their hope was misplaced, believing that the law of Moses was sufficient to bring them salvation. Now, were these Jews saved? I can't tell you. I certainly hope so. But what I can tell you is that if they were, that the only way was through Jesus Christ, for he is the only path to salvation. Now, in today's world, we also have a similar pressing problem. A large number of baptized Christians who assume that they too will be saved without following the Good Shepherd. They believe in the promises of Christ, but for some reason they think that they can get there on their own, following their own path. They may not feel the need to worship him by coming to church, or they may disagree with his moral teachings, or they may not even think of him as part of their daily lived experience. It's pretty bizarre, actually, to cherry pick that you believe in eternal life and the efficacy of baptism as the manner in which you can get there, but not to buy into the rest of what Jesus has handed down to us. Deciding to trust in his offer of salvation, but not conforming your life according to his way, and instead conforming it in accord with the world, it makes no sense. The world does not believe in life after death, so it teaches that we must grab as much pleasure as we can now, and that there is no reason to care about eternity. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He leads his flock in all things and protects us from evil. Just as the straying sheep does not know better than the shepherd, so the wandering Christian who thwarts the will of God does not understand things better than our divine good shepherd. This weekend, as we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, we are reminded that we are called to be sheep. Now, normally, that has a pretty negative connotation. But here it emphasizes the trust and faith that we are to put in Jesus, our Good Shepherd. He fully loves us and protects us. We can put all of our confidence in him. As a child snuggles up to his parent to be comforted and safeguarded, so Jesus wants us to do to him. So what he tells us through Scripture and through the church is for our good and protection, even if we don't always understand it. A hungry sheep might want to stop for lunch in a field of ripe clover and not understand when his shepherd quickly moves him along to protect him from circling wolves. But the sheep trusts. So my brothers and sisters, be sheep. Follow the Good Shepherd in all things. He will never lead you astray. If his ways seem tough or arbitrary, trust that he knows best. Full confidence in him will assist you in times of deep distress and suffering, and will lead you to a deeper relationship with him when you have a hard time accepting church teaching. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who even laid down his life for his flock. Trust in him at all times, and like the early Gentile converts to the faith, turn to follow him with your whole self. Every morning as you rise, greet Jesus with a simple prayer. Jesus, my Good Shepherd, guide me and protect me all throughout the day. Be a sheep, and the Good Shepherd will lead you to your heavenly home.